Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to talk MLB betting is my man, Andrew Cayley, Senior Publishing Editor from Covers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Covers_Cayley, and that is Cayley with a C. Andrew, great to have you back on the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me back, man. And it's the hard C. Not many people get that right. So thanks for getting that right. And I'm very excited to be back to chat some baseball betting with you here today, buddy.
More importantly, what we always talk about first thing when we come on is the jersey that you are wearing. It is why right now I'm wearing a Pittsburgh Pirates Kent Colvey jersey, which was given to me as a wedding gift from a friend. So anyone looking to get one of their sports fans a wedding gift, a throwback jersey is a great idea. So, Andrew, who are you rocking today?
I'm disappointed. I just got married last October, and I did not get one single jersey as a wedding gift. We got money and art and silly stuff like that. Don't tell my wife, I think it's silly. But today it's actually not a throwback jersey. This is one of the new Blue Jays, new blue jerseys, and it's a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. special here today. So it was a present from my wife. So at least I have that going for me. She got it for me heading into this season. So it's kind of a throwback as these new blues mimic the old school baby blues that the Jays used to rock in the 80s there. So I love the mixture of the history and the new school with Vladdy Jr. here.
And that is a great choice. And one other gift that I was given for our wedding was a signed Bill Mazeroski baseball. I'm like, this is incredible. But here's the thing. The signature is wearing off. It is like there is a decay. So it is sitting there in a case. Like that's what it was given to me as. And Bill Mazeroski is slowly starting to look like the Babe Ruth baseball from Sandlot, where you're not sure if that's Babe Ruth anymore. I just know that there's going to be a baseball in a case with very little lettering. That's a Bill Mazeroski.
I'm just jealous. I think you just have better friends than I do, giving you all those sweet wedding gifts. I did not get anything like that. I'm a little jealous.
We also got a home and away Nick Van Exel Lakers jersey. I mean,
so do you share that with Mrs. Bacon? Does she rock that too, or is it all for you?
Well, it's all for me, except the size of the Van Exels was too large. They were like XLs, so I wanted to sell them to get a different size. And my wife was like, "No, which one of those two is mine?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "One of those two jerseys is mine." And a legitimate argument broke out. I was like, "You're telling me this jersey you have never seen in your life that I want to sell to get two different jerseys?" She's like, "Yeah, that purple one is mine. That purple one's sitting in our garage in a bag yet to be seen since that argument."
Half your stuff, man. Half your stuff. What's yours? What's yours is mine, and what's mine is hers. It's all hers, man.
Exactly. So before we get to MLB betting, we're recording this on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and it is game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. We're not going to give a pick because it'll be short-lived, but the series is sitting here 1-1. And looking at the odds, Celtics -115, Warriors 105. Warriors were slight favorites going into this, but Celtics got their first game. And Andrew, I'm curious your thoughts on who you're going to take to win the series as it speaks right now before game 3.
So before the series, I took the Warriors to win in 7. And through the first two games, I really don't know if anything I've seen has swayed me off that pick. So I'm going to stick with the Warriors in 7 here. You got that pre-series at about 4-1. I don't know what the odds are on it right now. But like I said, besides two quarters where I'd say the fourth quarter in game 1 where the Celtics just couldn't miss, any time where Al Horford hits 6 threes in a game, you know something crazy is happening. And then game 2, we got a pretty strong third quarter from the Warriors. And that's basically been the difference in the series to this point. The Celtics need to do a better job of not turning over the ball. And I think they've got to do a better job of trying to contain Steph in the pick and roll, because he's just been killing them with that so far in the series. But going into the series, I thought if there was a team that could match the Celtics defensively and their depth, it was the Warriors. And like I said, I haven't seen anything that has swayed me off of that stance to this point. So I'm going to stick with the Warriors to get the job done. I expect them to take one of these two games here in Boston. Boston hasn't been as strong at the TD Garden during the playoffs. Like, they've been great, but this is a very experienced Warriors team, obviously. They should have no problem with the atmosphere there, and I expect them to take one of these next two games.
Yeah, and on my end, I think the rest of the series is going to come down to secondary scoring. And we've seen Jason Tatum, 12 points in game one, 28 in game two, Jaylen Brown, 24 and 17. It's been the Steph Curry show for the Warriors, but secondarily, Wiggins with 20, but Wiggins with 11, Klay with 15, Klay with 11. I don't think Klay is the same number two that everyone thought he was. And for me, I guess I would say this comes down to Jaylen Brown versus Andrew Wiggins, and then it's Al Horford versus sort of the Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole, and somewhere Marcus Smart is in there. And I'm with you. I think this is a seven-game series. I was rooting for the Warriors because of experience going into this. I think that my play is still going to continue to be live betting. We've seen such swings in the matter of a quarter in both games, granted at various points, that I still think for me, that's where the value is. So let's move this on to what we were actually here to talk about, MLB betting. And Andrew, one of the things that I enjoy about you is following your Blue Jays bat flipping pick of the day. So for those who aren't familiar, step one, what is it? And then step number two, what have you learned from this so far this year?
Step one is last season in my previous sports betting history, I'd avoided picking Blue Jays games and making Blue Jays bets because you're very emotional about it. But at the same time, I know my knowledge about this team is far greater than any other in baseball, so I should be able to figure out a way to use that knowledge to help handicap these games a little better. So last season, I started picking them every single game, making one bet every single game on the Jays without picking them outright to lose. That was my one caveat. I'll never pick them to lose a game outright, but I could get away with like taking an opponent's like team total to go over, or a pitcher to have a rough outing on an outs recorded prop sort of thing. But this season's been a little rougher. I've had a really tough gauge on the team so far. I think I'm down. I don't think. I know I'm down 9 units so far to this point in the season. The Jays got off to a very slow start at the dish this season, not hitting the way they were planning, and the pitching was really strong, and now the pitching's kind of regressed a bit, outside of Alek Manoah, of course, and the hitting has picked up here. So hopefully I can pick things up along with the Jays offense here, and I can start flipping those bats again as opposed to laying it down gently as I have been doing the last couple of weeks here or so. But what I've learned from it is that as long as you can take that emotional side out of it, you can bet, like fans of teams can bet on their teams without letting that emotional and that heart side take over. You can still find value in betting your own teams without just blindly betting, oh, I'm going to take the Blue Jays to win today because they're my favorite team sort of thing. There is still a way to back your team in that sense without letting those emotions cloud your vision and make a bad bet.
So let's dive a little bit deeper into that process. And I love where you're going with this. So let's look into ways to do this, because for people who are looking for the transition between NHL and NBA playoffs ending and golf majors and the football season starting, it's like, great, baseball is something we can do. Cool. Let's find the team that we root for. And now let's start doing one bet every single day. And I know you're someone who loves props, and we've got anything from home home runs to total bases to, as you said, team totals, over-unders. So this isn't just win-losses, but if we want to be wise on this and not necessarily, hey, I'm going to be spending an hour every single day analyzing my bat flipping pick of the day, where should we start? Give us like one or two or three, hey, these are the props, or these are sort of the angles that intelligently as a fan, at least start looking as an option.
Well, you have to start with starting pitching matchups every single day. You got to go to covers.com and you have to check out our matchup pages. We break down pitchers going head to head and how these pitchers have done in their last 10 games. I like seeing at least how a pitcher has done over his last three games sort of thing. And then you can say, oh, maybe the Jays are hitting well against left-handers, or they're striking out a lot against right-handers. There's so many ways to break down a baseball game. That's kind of, I always have thought that baseball and sports betting go the best together because both are such numbers-driven entities that we dive into. Baseball obviously is one of the more statistical sports out there, but so is sports betting. So yeah, first you start off looking at the starting pitchers, and then you start looking for your edges from there. You can then go into maybe trying to find a hitter who is hot, or maybe someone you know is a good hitter who's in a bit of a slump, and you can find some value in a guy like, oh, say Vladdy goes in a stretch where he's only hitting like 200 over like a 10-game stretch, but then he gets a matchup against a pitcher he's done very well against in the past, and you just know from history's from past at bats that this guy is not going to stay in that slump for a while, and you can maybe find a little extra added value that way. So yeah, those, I like I said, start with starting pitching and work your way out there.
So speaking of starting pitching, one of the things that me as someone as both a sports bettor and a fantasy baseball player loves and or gets frustrated by is when the Robbie Ray or Kevin Gausmans of the world, guys that for the longest time you've identified, this guy's going to be so good, high strikeout potential, young guy, boom, first round pick, they should be good. And year after year, nothing, 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 nothing. So you all, but you give up on these players. And then the season in which their all hope is lost, they go and win the Cy Young. And this year, one of the players, and granted, we're only, for a lot of these pitchers, 11 or 12 starts in, but Martin Perez for the Texas Rangers, second in MLB with a 1.56 ERA. So I'm always sitting there evaluating, saying, and not that Martin Perez has the same pedigree as either of those two guys had back in the past, but we have seen the R.A. Dickies of the world, once again, another Blue Jays person for you, come out of nowhere and have a statistically relevant season. What are your thoughts on identifying these pitchers and or capitalizing off of them?
I think what you have to do is find pitchers in new situations. A lot of these guys find coaches that they can really relate to. Robbie Ray obviously did in Toronto with pitching coach Pete Walker, and he parlayed that into a wonder to a Cy Young award and to a nice contract with the Mariners. But you really have to, it would take a lot of work, I would say, because you really have to identify pitchers, these pitchers who have kind of struggled. You kind of want them to get a new start. Another guy who was, we kind of saw it last year a bit, with Carlos Rodon of the Chicago White Sox. He kind of bet on himself, stayed with the White Sox, but had another great season, and now he's with San Francisco, an organization known for developing pitchers well, and now he is excelling there by the Bay as well. It's, like I said, you really have to find the pitchers in the new spots and then just kind of break down what they've done in the past and whether or not it's more of a stuff thing and or a mental thing, because a lot of the times the mental thing can be too much for a pitcher to overcome. But if it's just something that takes a little tweak here, or like maybe it's like we're going to throw your fastball a little more for a certain pitcher, or we're going to eliminate, you have a lot of times a lot of these pitchers have too many pitches getting coming up because they want to be the best of the best sort of thing. And they'll come in with like four or five pitches. And a lot of these guys now, like Kevin Gausman, say he uses basically two pitches right now, and he's effective at when it comes to getting major league outs. So I think new situations and trying to analyze whether or not it is a stuff thing, which can be fixed with a minor tweak, or if it's more of a mental hurdle that these guys have to go through.
Yeah, and one of the biggest hurdles was when Charlie Morton left the Pirates and all of a sudden became a very, very good pitcher, and he had to overcome all the stink from everything on the Pirates organization. And one pitcher who is still in a similar position but is back for the first time this year, Justin Verlander, and he is straight dealing. And one of the things that I noticed about the Astros, their team ERA, one of the best in baseball at 2.97. And how does that correlate? When you look at the over-under totals for the year, the Astros, 16-40 to the under. So what do you take from something like this? Because I completely agree with you that baseball is very statistically relevant. We as fans, we like to look at trends, but they're not everything. But here's Verlander. Hey, how good is he going to be? He is very good. What do you do with a team that is hitting it an under at a 71% clip?
You keep tailing it for now because they have some great starting pitching outside of Verlander, Christian Javier, Jose Acuti. Like, they lots of good young guys, strong arms. The bullpen is solid. And the offense just hasn't been there this year for them. For years, they've been known as a high average team that doesn't strike out a lot, but that's kind of switched a lot. They've kind of gone, they're hitting more home runs now than they've basically hit than ever before, but that average is way down. They rank 20th in the MLB in batting average this year and 21st in scoring. So when you're not scoring a whole lot and you're pitching really well, that usually equates to a good under. But sportsbooks will pick up on this eventually, and you'll see some adjustments. Those numbers will get a little lower, and it'll be a little harder to navigate in the second half of the season. So you kind of have to find figure out these spots early in the year, or not early in the year, before the trends kind of hit their peaks, sort of thing, on the way up. And it can be hard to do in baseball, but you just have to kind of dig through that analysis and see who has the potential to break out of slumps or change the way that they're hitting. And baseball is a super long season, 6 months long. There's ebbs and flows in this season like no other sort of thing. And you have to adjust, like the books are going to adjust. For instance, we were seeing this crazy, crazy scoring drought to begin the year, obviously. And unders were hitting, just like with the Astros, unders were hitting almost 60% of the time overall in baseball. We were seeing like historic lows in batting average and OPS. But then books adjusted and we started seeing totals of 6.5, like multiple totals of 6.5s on a board with like just regular pitchers going, when a number like 6.5 used to be reserved for guys like when Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer were facing off against each other in a game, not when it's two just normal dudes on the mound. But as we've seen, after hitting about 60% in the month of April, now we're almost at 50-50 as we're through the first week of June when it comes to over-under numbers for the season. So books are adjust. Baseball is a game full of ebbs and flows. There's going to be ups and downs. And I'll say this to bettors too. You're going to go through cold streaks betting baseball. It's going to happen. The season's so long. And predicting the future is a difficult thing to do, which is what we're trying to do here when we're making these bets. And so stay within yourself, manage your bankroll well, and don't get too down on yourself. I'd say don't chase the losses, because as long as you're putting the proper work into these bets, you'll have some those highs as well to go along with those inevitable lows which come with baseball betting.
So Andrew, one of the trends that I loved riding with you was the unders on Jacob DeGrom, unders on Shane Bieber, and or the first five unders. Who is that pitcher this year, if there is one? Is there an auto bet that you've currently got?
I don't have one going this year. It's a little sad. I miss DeGrom Day so much, and we're praying here that DeGrom comes back healthy. I feel like we were robbed of a special season with him last year when he got hurt. But this year, I don't. It's really tough because there's no really standout guy. On the thing that made those plays so great in those years was because DeGrom was outstanding, and the Mets that season couldn't hit. And the same with Cleveland. Shane Bieber was outstanding, and the Guardians could not hit. So That's kind of what you're looking for. You're trying to find that combination of teams that cannot hit combined with an outstanding pitcher, and there just isn't really that kind of team going right now. Maybe Joe Musgrove with the Padres is one. The Padres are an underrated bad hitting team this year, particularly when it comes to facing right-handed pitching. They're a little better against lefties, but have kind of struggled this season when facing right-handed pitching. I believe they rank like a stunning 28th in OPS against right-handers this year. So Musgrove is kind of the guy that's quietly been their best starter this year, and they can't hit. So maybe Musgrove is that guy now that I think about it.
Yeah, and the Padres hitting 55% to the under on the year. And Andrew, I want to get you out with this. I always check your Twitter out before we jump on this. And you said something that resonated with me so much, that one of the media companies put something out that said MLB favorites, 43-22 straight up since the start of June. And this is 2 days ago. And you quote tweeted this saying, but what's the ROI? And I wanted to just like give you a hug, because it is the biggest false shiny object syndrome that there ever is out there. Just telling me that the favorites are winning there, because we both know the lines on those favorites. We're sitting here and sometimes over minus 200. Just add one little nugget on this, please, because I loved it. I am so with you. And beware when you see these things that are straight up numbers.
We're in a really interesting time right now, Rob. Ever since PASP has been appealed and sports betting has become mainstream, and you see it in broadcasts every day on national television and just whatever, it's everywhere now. But it means the market is flooded and everybody is trying to put out content and trying to stand out. Unfortunately, there a lot of these companies haven't been around as long as covers have, and they're just jumping into it. And like, they put out a stat that, and for those who don't know, ROI is return on investment. And when you're betting giant favorites like that, you're not going to see that return on investment, which is what we're trying to do here. And so putting out a tweet like that, I find is a little disingenuous and I think a lot of these companies need to be doing a better job of putting out information that, like, I don't want to pump up ourselves here at Covers too much, but our entire motto here at Covers is making smarter sports bettors, and saying something like, hey, favorites are hitting 66% right now, that's just misleading. And you might as well be saying, hey, did you know that the Blue Jays have won 10 straight ball games on a Wednesday? Like, these, you see these trends out there with that are just trends and nothing else. So please be aware of that, all you bettors out there, especially you new bettors. And really, you can sometimes a trend does have value. I will say this, like maybe teams hit better in their home ballpark, but you have to use that trend to then dive deeper into your bets and make a more informed decision on that. You can't be just seeing these tweets and just betting blindly. So be aware out there, all you bettors, because there's a lot of information that might lead you astray right now.
And I would like to think that's one of the biggest value adds of this podcast here, that I can see the trends, but I want to help teach people how to fish, that when we see these numbers and you're like, whoa, Astros at 70% hitting the under, boom, I'm just going to jump on board with this. But then you rolling on being like, listen, guys, we're at like a 50-50 over under, and baseball's got these big swings. So we want to be able to understand the mindset of these things. Boom, you see something, what is your next thought? So this is second level thinking. So much of what we see on social media is first level thinking. Oh, I'm just going to bet LeBron and the Lakers because they're going to crush the Rockets. No, that's not what this podcast is about. This is about second level thinking. You see this, what's the thing behind it? Because whatever you're thinking, the sports books already know. And Andrew, I love jamming with you. You're just a ball of energy and knowledge. Where can everybody connect?
You can find me on Twitter @covers_Kaylee. Like I said, you'll find my bat flipping picks every day. Fade away, right? Right now I'm saying fade me for the time being because I'm ice cold with them. But hey, and we're coming up to college football season two. I bet you I'm going to have some conference football previews coming before you know it, just a couple of months before kickoff now. So I'm getting really excited for that. And yeah, so baseball and college football, things to look forward to right now.
And I want to hear from you. And I've actually got an action item. If you're down, I would love for you to do 1 week of your own bat flipping picks of the week. Every day for 1 week, you can choose a team, and I will do this myself. And I want you to make one bet a day on a baseball team and just see how it feels. See what you learn, because there is knowledge and insight by doing something consistently. You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.